NBC Monitor News on the Hour, brought to you by your Ford dealer, the place you gotta go to see what's going on. Now with the news, Lou Wood.
A new burst of fighting in the Middle East today. The story from Alvin Rosenfeld, NBC News, Jerusalem.
One of the most serious artillery battles since the Six-Day War raged on hour after hour tonight along the Suez Canal. The fighting began just before sunset, and Egyptian and Israeli guns dueled for 2.25 hours along the entire length of the canal. Then the guns in the northern sector fell silent, but the dueling went on hot and heavy on the southern front for another 2 hours. The last Israeli report said the shelling was finally confined to the area around Suez itself. Each side blamed the other for the all-out battle, and the Israeli Foreign Ministry spokesman charged that Cairo began the duel in an effort to cause international panic and drive home Egypt's propaganda point that the Middle East is on the brink of all-out war. Alvin Rosenfeld, NBC News, Jerusalem.
Egypt also accused Israel of shelling petroleum installations in Suez. The Middle East crisis reportedly was the chief topic of discussion today in a meeting between Secretary of State William Rogers and Soviet Ambassador Dobrynin in Washington. The Apollo 9 astronauts lowered their orbit slightly today by firing a short burst with their main rocket engine. The burn dropped the spacecraft from 138 miles to 120 miles above the Earth in the lowest point of their orbit, where they could start a return to Earth with only their steering and control rockets if their main engine failed. The maneuver was part of the flight plan, but it wasn't a bad idea since an earlier attempt to fire the big rocket had to be postponed because of a little trouble in starting it. That cleared up, they completed the lowering burn, and entered what they called banker's hours, the last and easier half of their 10-day flight. More news after this from Ford.
This is Baron Patrick at the Daytona 500, where Ford has just taken 3 out of the first 4 places. And with me is the happy winner of the most exciting Daytona 500 in history, Leroy Yarbrough. Leroy, how did your Torino Cobra handle?
Well, right now I just can't say enough about the way the car handled today. Cobra is probably the most streamlined car anyone's producing nowadays. It's a real winner.
The car didn't give you any trouble throughout the race, did it?
This Ford engine just fabulous. It was amazing for me that an engine could endure so much punishment and still go 500 miles like this.
What about Leroy Yarbrough? Now, what kind of a car do you drive?
There's not much doubt about that. My wife and I both drive Fords.
Congratulations again, Leroy. 50 specially modified cars started, only 28 finished, and you won it all. Now I know why you made the switch to Ford.
They just got a better idea.
Once again, Lou Wood. The communists stepped up ground and rocket attacks on a number of South Vietnamese cities and allied bases today. The heaviest fighting came at a U.S. landing zone northwest of Saigon, where American forces killed 154 of the 500 enemy troops who stormed the base after a rocket and mortar assault. The U.S. command says the increased activity may be the start of the second phase of the communists' spring offensive. In Turin, Italy, police using batons and tear gas charged about 1,000 rock-throwing demonstrators who tried to invade the U.S. embassy. The protesters shouting anti-American slogans and accused the United States of supporting the military-backed Greek government. The clashes began as Greek actress Melina Mercouri was addressing a rally. She is on a speaking tour of Italy to condemn the Greek government. There was another angry Russian demonstration in front of the Chinese Communist Embassy in Moscow today. Over 100,000 Soviet citizens marched in protest. Some of them burned and hanged effigies of Mao Zedong in the second day of demonstrations against last Sunday's border clash between Chinese and Soviet troops in Manchuria. More in a moment.
Fairlane stands out in automotive history as one of the most dependable cars Ford has ever built. So when you go in a Ford dealer showroom during his pop option sale, you may do a double take, because there's a Fairlane two-door hardtop decked out with wild performance-y options. Popular options like tape stripe, hood scoop, and groovy wheel covers. All in the Fairlane, all at one special low package price, all at your Ford dealer's pop option sale.
You forgot to mention extra savings on the vinyl roof.
Oh, you mean I didn't mention that gorgeous vinyl?
A poll conducted by the Associated Press indicates 47 of the 100 members of the U.S. Senate now oppose allotting any more money for the Sentinel anti-ballistic missile system this year. It means opposition to the ABM system has grown and could hand President Nixon a political setback if he goes ahead with plans for the Sentinel, which NBC News has learned he will. The president is in Key Biscayne, Florida for the weekend going over the Sentinel matter and is expected to announce his decision to go ahead with it early next week. Once again, the hour's top story. Israel and Egypt fought a long and fierce artillery battle along the length of the Suez Canal today in the wake of an aerial dogfight over the Sinai. Lou Wood, NBC News, reporting.
Listen again on the hour when Ford brings you NBC Monitor News. Tony Mottola in the orchestra. On monitor now, You and Only You. Friends and gentle people, this is Gene Rayburn extending sympathy to Howard Drury, who escaped from a Missouri state prison at Jefferson City yesterday. But he only got 4 miles from the clink before he was recaptured. He stopped at a farmhouse to ask for food, and it turned out to be the home of a prison guard. And thus proving one old saying and disapproving another. Crime doesn't pay, but charity doesn't always begin at home. Fifth Dimension with their latest Aquarius. Next on the line with Bob Considine, brought to you by Mutual of Omaha, the company that pays.
I've been on a swing around Europe in the wake of President Nixon's visit. He left a very good impression. The leaders of the Western Alliance appear assured or reassured by two things. First, his pledge that the U.S. will make no move without enlisting European support. And two, the U.S. is not hopelessly obsessed by its commitments in Asia. I'll be back with some details after we hear this from Mutual of Omaha.
Traveling, traveling, traveling on, going to the places people have gone. Come along and see the world. Going to the places where the people have gone.
We're always on the move, aren't we? Cross country or cross town, distance makes no difference when it comes to an accident. Mutual of Omaha can't keep you from getting hurt or getting sick, but they can protect you against the ever higher cost. Mutual of Omaha Health Insurance can pay you for hospital and doctor bills, and even provide cash for living expenses. And it does what most health insurance won't do. Goes right on paying even when you're out of the hospital and recovering at home. So why take chances? Call the man from Mutual of Omaha today. You can trust him to provide the benefits you need when you need them. After all, he's from Mutual of Omaha, the company that pays.
Here in London, a cabinet officer spelled out the Labour government's view on the conduct of the war in Vietnam. The only support our British friends have given us is largely moral. He said, "We support the American aim to keep South Vietnam free. We never approved of your bombing of the North Vietnam targets, however, and think it would be a terrible mistake if you resumed. It would leave a very bad impression on our people and on all Europeans, for that matter." We asked him what he would do to retaliate for the shellings of Saigon, many other South Vietnamese cities, and U.S. military installments over there, which have resulted in great loss of life and property. Well, the cabinet officer wasn't fazed at all by the question. He said, "It's a pity about that, but I don't think it's any reason to react without thinking. I should think America's mission at this time would be to show the world how wicked the communist enemy really is, rather than taking an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth attitude. You should find ways and means of stopping the attacks inside South Vietnam. Step up your ground activities inside that country. Don't bomb in the north." In Paris, Vice President Key took a diametrically opposed view. The fire-breathing former air marshal of South Vietnam told us we should wallop Hanoi and Haiphong every time the enemy wallops us. In Rome the other day, we had sessions with three of the top leaders and found them generally in a mood to let George do it. George as, let's say, in George Washington. Certainly, one of them said, "Italy is quite worried about the increasing strength of the Soviet fleet in the Mediterranean." He added that it was altogether conceivable that the Soviets already have a naval base at Alexandria in Egypt and have an eye on air bases in pro-communist Algeria. On top of that, he went on, "If the extreme leftish opposition party on the island of Malta wins control in the next election, it might very well lease its extensive port facilities and repair shops in exchange for a fat check from the Soviet Union." He proposed that all NATO countries chip in and strengthen the conservative government of Malta, or that failing, maybe America could do something about the danger in a face-to-face confrontation with the Russians. And under the thatched roof of an ancient home in the French countryside, Jean Monnet, one of the founding fathers of the common market, shook his old head sadly when the subject changed to Charles de Gaulle. "De Gaulle does not feel that he is typical of France," Mr. Monnet said. "He feels and has said, 'I am France.' He is the nation, or so he believes. When he passes on, England will come into the market." Jean Monnet paused, and then he said, "De Gaulle has hurt us deeply in recent years, but you must remember this. If it were not for his presence after World War II, France would have become a communist nation." This is Bob Considine in London for Monitor. Now a reminder from Mutual of Omaha.
Traveling, traveling, traveling on, going to the places the people have gone. Come along and see the world. Going to the places where the people have gone.
Wherever you go, take along the health insurance that goes everywhere. Get all-round protection from Mutual of Omaha. Get cash when you need it most, when you're sick or hurt.
See the man from Mutual of Omaha, the company that pays.
On the line with Bob Considine, we'll be heard again tomorrow. Presented by Mutual of Omaha and its life insurance affiliate, United of Omaha, and you're on the Monitor Beacon.
McCormick, seasoning,
sauce and spices.
McCormick, savory mixes too. McCormick, the very famous house of flavor. McCormick in the kitchen will make a better cook of you.
For great gravies, McCormick brown gravy or onion gravy mix. On potatoes, meat, leftovers. McCormick gravy mixes taste better than ready-made every time.
McCormick, the very famous house of flavor.
Hi, this is Johnny Carson. Not so long ago, it was thought that a mentally retarded child could only be taught to brush his teeth or dress himself. The National Association for Retarded Children did not agree. They adopted as their slogan, "Retarded children can be helped." Today, 1 million of the retarded are employed by private industry. Is that proof enough of their faith? The National Association for Retarded Children asks you to help your local association continue such work. Thank you.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
This is Gene Rayburn for Monitor 69, and here's that perennial boy singer, Frank Sinatra, with a new one, My Way.
And now, the end is near, and so I face the final curtain, my friend. I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I traveled each and every highway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do, saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way.
It's a stuffy, uncomfortable feeling for me.
It's a tense, tight, burning sensation.
Rotten. Miserable.
Whatever you call heartburn and acid indigestion, Digel relieves the symptoms. Digel is the extra action antacid. Digel not only contains effective antacids, it has the extra action of simethicone in a patented formulation that breaks up frothy bubbles of gas, to help relax your tense, tight stomach. D-I-G-E-L. Digel. Tablets or liquid at all drug counters. When someone in your family has a minor cut or scrape, stop the pain with Solarcaine. More effective than ordinary first aids that have no pain-killing ingredients. Solarcaine contains benzocaines. Stop skin pain with Solarcaine. Cream, lotion, or spray.
Now, a monitor news special. Renewed fighting between Israeli and Egyptian forces has flared up again in the Suez area with an aerial battle and prolonged artillery duels. Here at Radio Central, NBC newsman Lou Wood has contacted correspondent Alvin Rosenfeld in Jerusalem. And here on Monitor's open line is Lou Wood.
Hello, Alvin. Can you give us a report on what's happening now along the Suez?
Well, the artillery battle lasted for 5 hours and 10 minutes, and it finally ended exactly half an hour ago.
Are there any reports of casualties as yet? How serious is it?
On the Israeli side, there are, the army spokesman says, 7 wounded, 2 of them seriously.
How seriously?
They are quite well dug in there, so that even while an incident like this could be very serious, casualties might be confined to a relatively small number, like 7, despite the fact that the battle went on all along the Suez.
How seriously is this outbreak viewed in Israel, Alvin?
Well, obviously, an incident like this is considered a serious one. The Israelis inevitably blame the other side for the attack and consider it wanton aggression. At the same time, there have been 3 or 4 such incidents in the past, and they've been self-contained. It doesn't appear here that this will lead to further escalation. It always could, but it doesn't appear as if it would. The Israeli official view, as expressed by the foreign ministry spokesman only about an hour ago, was that Egypt had deliberately started firing all along the canal in an effort to convince the world that the Middle East is on the verge of all-out war. This, the Israelis believe, is an Egyptian line whose aim is to say to the great powers, come on in here, boys, and force the Israelis back and do it fast before all-out war breaks out. The Israelis, on the other hand, have been saying persistently that the Middle East is not on the brink of all-out war, that the great powers can take their time.
What preceded this outbreak?
For the past 3 or 4 weeks, there have been steadily increasing sniping incidents from the Egyptian side to the Israeli side almost daily. This has concerned the Israelis considerably because there have been some casualties.
Okay.
There's been a steady buildup of tension and pressure, and of course this morning there was this aerial battle, which the Israelis say began when four Egyptian MiGs deliberately entered what the Israelis consider to be their airspace on the Israeli side of the Suez.
Right, Alvin. Thanks very much for this late report. This is Lou Wood, NBC News in New York.
Thank you, Lou. Lou Wood with Alvin Rosenfeld on Monitor's Open Line. For continuing coverage of breaking news, stay with Monitor.
People on the go always seem to know. Miller makes it right. Miller makes it right.
When you're on the go, take along Miller High Life Beer in champagne golden cans. And find out for yourself why
Miller makes it right. Miller makes it right.
Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee.
Next, Monitor Sports with Joe Garagiola. A look at a little-known winter sport and an interview with one of its ex-champions. Here's Joe.
Today at Grossinger, New York, there's a world championship event on the schedule. The top amateur and professional ice-speed skaters will compete for the World Barrel Jumping Championship. The event was originated and is still supervised by 3-time Olympic gold medal winner, Irving Jaffe. The other day, I asked Irving what a record performance would be in something like barrel jumping.
The present world's record is 17 barrels, and he jumped a distance of 28 feet and 8 inches while accomplishing that. These barrels are 16 inches in diameter, and they're made out of fiber. And the reason they're made out of fiber instead of metal and wood, because they break about 100 barrels when they miss. They get 3 tries for each different barrel. And we feel that we'd rather see them break the barrel than break their bones.
Records are being broken these days in just about every sport. And I asked Irving Jaffe if there had been much change in the barrel jumping marks.
Yes, it started in the first world record, the modern record, we call it, and actually barrel jumping really technically started, as we study our history, in Holland. They used to jump on the little canals over snow stacks and so on. And from that there, the barrel was discovered. Now, the barrel, as I understand, was not even invented until 100 years later on. And so, actually, the modern barrel jumping, which we call modern, actually started with the starting of this competition. And now we have an organized, specified rules. They must jump in certain lanes, as you would do in Olympic broad jumping and track and field. They must not touch the barrel. They must not fall after 1 yard of landing. They must take off at a certain point. And so there are standardized rules. I remember when I personally had escaped from the 25-mile world's record, and we did it here at Grossinger on our big lake, and the officials were saying to us, where is the record? And we looked at the world almanacs, and a man named Robinson had set it in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, some 40 years ago. There were no clockers, there was nobody out there to watch it, and it was an official record of an hour and some 31 minutes. Well, the same thing with barrel jumping before. They were all calling themselves champions, but nothing was standardized. And now the sports world, that I'm referring to newspaper men and radio commentators, we can refer to the book and they know just what it is. And so it started with a world's record of 13 barrels, and this is 19 years ago, and they're now up to 17 barrels.
In just a few minutes, right here on monitor, more information on men who jump over barrels on ice skates from Irving Jaffe. This is Joe Garagiola for Monitor Sports.
Hey, Billy. Sounds like you got a fight on your hands.
Oh, hi, Mr. Granatelli. This is motor. Been idling so rough. I just hope it's somewhere in the fuel system.
Probably is. Why don't you try a can of STP?
Well, I thought STP was for the oil.
Most people think that we just have STP oil treatment. But we've got a product for gasoline, too. STP gasoline treatment. Might be just a ticket for you.
If you say so. Right in the gas, huh? Thanks. Hi, Mr. Granatelli. Boy, getting advice about cars from you is like getting the word on women from Valentino. This thing's running great now. I could feel the difference right away.
Glad to hear it, Billy.
One thing, though. I hate to tell you how to run your business, Mr. G., but I don't know how you can make money selling something this good for only 65 cents.
Volume, Billy, volume.
STP gas treatment adds fire to your fuel.
For only 65 cents.
Monitor 69, yours for the best in weekend listening all around the USA. In Hazleton, Pennsylvania, we join you on station WAZL. Short break now while all our NBC affiliates identify themselves, and then we'll be back. I'm Gene Rayburn.
Trini Lopez is one of the now people. This is Roscoe, inviting you to meet him next week on NBC Radio. O'Brien, remember, you don't have to be Irish to like St. Patrick's Day. All you have to do is enter the WNBC Little Green Thing contest and win a cash prize. So for full details, keep listening to WNBC Radio 660. This is the place. Hey, watch it. Watch it with those little green things. They're going to roll off the table. And you know what that means. You can always tell an Irishman, but you can't tell him much.
This is Charlie Brown. Are you looking for work? Well, meet your competition, high school graduates. They make up 7 out of 10 people applying for jobs. Now, just imagine you were an employer. Who would you hire? Someone who quit school or one of them? The moral? If you're in school, stay there. If you've quit, go now to your state employment service or youth opportunity center. Find out how to get more training. You'll need it. Remember the competition you're up against.
Get started with Joe O'Brien. Weekday mornings, 5 to 9, on WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
This is Frank Gorin, WNBC News. It's 4:30, 42 degrees in New York and mostly sunny. New York City Investigations Commissioner Robert Ruskin says he knows the identity of the staff member who leaked a story to the news media this week about a probe into the city controller's office. Last Wednesday, newspapers reported that the controller's office had okayed a number of loans out of city employee pension funds and that the borrowers had paid off certain representatives in advance. Ruskin says the man who disclosed the investigation is no longer in the department. The New York City trucking industry has launched a new security project in hopes of reducing the $50 million a year theft and hijacking of clothing from the garment district. From now on, private guards will be stationed outside garages at the expense of garage owners and truckers. Doctors at Montefiore Hospital in the Bronx have performed a rare transplant operation. For the first time on the East Coast, surgeons have successfully transplanted a lung. The patient was suffering from chronic emphysema. He is reported in satisfactory condition. Another transplant patient is in critical condition at New York Hospital in Manhattan. 19-year-old Ronald Nelson is one of six persons who received organs from a single donor last month. Nelson, who received a new kidney, suffered a relapse yesterday. A large group of New York City doctors and dentists has filed suit against three hospitals. Here's a report from WNBC newsman Mike Moss.
An association of doctors and dentists who work for the city demands that the Lindsay administration get back $2.5 million in alleged overcharges. City Controller Mario Procaccino revealed several months ago that Mount Sinai and Misericordia Hospitals and Columbia University had overcharged the city for medical services they supplied for municipal hospitals. The doctors' group has filed suit to force the Lindsay administration to get the money back. The association, which filed the court action, claims to have 1,500 members. Mike Moss, WNBC News.
The Associated Press has published a poll that indicates President Nixon may run into trouble on Capitol Hill over the Sentinel anti-missile controversy. The AP survey shows 47 of the 100 members of the Senate are against deployment of the system at this time. Only 29 are actually in favor, and the rest are on the fence. Sources in Washington, meantime, say the president has made up his mind to go ahead with the Sentinel program and may announce his intentions next week. Israel and Egypt fought battles on the ground and in the air today. Artillery duels were reported across the Suez Canal, each side blaming the other for starting it. The air battle was a dogfight between jets over the Sinai Desert. Both Israel and Egypt claim they shot down one plane. The expected second phase of the communist offensive in Vietnam may be at hand. The North Vietnamese and the Viet Cong stepped up ground attacks and the shelling of Allied cities and installations today. The heaviest fighting erupted at a U.S. 1st Air Cavalry Division landing zone northwest of Saigon. After the battle, 154 enemy bodies were found. 11 Americans were killed. Secretary of State William Rogers met for 2 hours in Washington today with Anatoly Dobrynin, the Soviet ambassador to the United States. It was the first such high-level discussion between Russia and the U.S. since President Nixon returned from Europe. A State Department spokesman declined to go into details of the meeting, except to say that it dealt with general matters. This has been the second day of a well-organized mass demonstration by Russians outside the Chinese embassy in Moscow. TASS, the Russian news agency, said 100,000 took part in today's demonstration, twice as many as yesterday. But it was less violent than yesterday's when more than 100 windows in the embassy building were broken. The demonstrations are protests against last weekend's clash on the Russian-Chinese border, in which 31 Russian soldiers reportedly were killed. It's apparent that both sides of the demonstrations were officially organized. Workers and students were taken to the scene in busloads. The weather in New York, mostly sunny for the rest of the day. Tonight, cloudy with a low in the upper 20s. Cloudy Sunday with a likelihood of some snow. And the high tomorrow in the upper 30s. Right now, it's 42 degrees cloudy in New York. This is Frank Gorin, WNBC News, and now back to Monitor.
What if the winter brings ice and snow?
Monitor warms your heart, makes you glow.
You won't go crazy if you spend your season with NBC.
Gene Rayburn here.
here from Monitor 69, reporting hourly throughout the weekend on Apollo 9 and presenting opinion on our space program in general. Critics have complained that we spend too much money on space hardware and employ too many people in space technology. This criticism was countered by Dr. Thomas O. Paine, newly appointed administrator of the National Aeronautics and Space Administration.
We've been able, through our contracting structure, to train very many people in very highly advanced programs. And these people working today in other areas, many of these civilians, some of them connected with defense, still represent a national asset. So I wouldn't call this a total loss, but I think we're reaching the point now where if we were to spin off any more of these people, we would really be hurting this nation's ability to maintain a good, solid, competitive position in space. And I think it would be a national disaster if we were to give up this area to the Soviets.
NASA Chief Thomas Paine, who thinks we're doing exactly what we must do and no more in our space program. We'll be hearing shortly from people with some other comments on the subject. First, monitor music by the Ellen Copeland Singers, Classical Gas and Scarborough Fair.
Our sweet stage, Rosemary and Time.
Continues to orbit the Earth, Monitor has been investigating the attitudes of the American people toward the whole matter of space research and what it hopes to accomplish. In various places, we ask the question, do you think our space expenditures are justified? Here are some answers we got in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Oh, I don't particularly know that much about it, but I'm sure they're not spending it foolishly.
We need to do more in the United States for our own people and spending all of that billions of dollars for space era. Now, that's the way I feel about it.
I think the space program is a very exciting thing, and I think we should spend more money on it because I've always been a believer that we are not alone in this universe, and I think we ought to go up there and find out what these things are that we've been seeing in the sky, and why can't we do the same thing?
The world expects the United States to be a leader and to give leadership to the world. And spending this money for the space program and the first that we were able to accomplish shows our leadership to the world.
I want to stay on the Earth.
You don't want to go, huh?
No, particularly there's no swimming pools or anything out there. And I like it around here. I mean, you know, We know everybody here, and we might not know the Martians or wherever we're going, to the moon. What does the moon mean?
Of course, the space program is expensive, but so is Columbus's trip, and Queen Isabella was willing to sell her jewels, wasn't she?
We know there's no Arkansas River up on the moon, no rivers and things like that. The pictures show it's just a bunch of cinders and stuff, volcanoes and things like that.
You're asking the wrong person the question, because I'm afraid that I'm very, very much opposed to it, because I believe the money could be spent much better, much wiser, and with more results down here on Earth.
See, I'd like to go up in the moon. Take me up there.
You would? You'd like to go?
Yeah. You'd like to go up in the moon.
And it's all right to spend the money for our space program?
Yeah, it's all right.
Hey, take me along if you love me. There she goes into orbit. Some folks there from Little Rock, and we'll look into some other viewpoints on our space program as the weekend goes on. Engelbert Humperdinck with his latest, a ballad of lost love called A Way It Used to Be.
Lonely table just for one. In a bright and crowded room. While the music has begun. I drink to memories in the gloom. Still the same. It has a bittersweet refrain. So play the song the way it used to be. Before she left and changed it all to sadness. And maybe if she's passing. Quite easy to let go. Then the song begins again. So play the song the way it used to be. Before she left and changed it all to sadness. And maybe
coming up shortly, another progress report on Apollo 9 here on the Monitor Beacon.
Hello, this is Jack Hayes with news of what's happening in our town. Trialogue, the three-faith discussion group headquartered in Rockville Center, will sponsor the third annual Festival of Songs Sunday, March 9th at 8 p.m. at the Southside Senior High School on Shepherd Street in Rockville Center. The program will consist of liturgical music of all three faiths, as well as classical and operatic selections. If you'd like further information, contact Frank Brennan at this number, area code 516-OR-85295. The Unifix, popular vocal group will share the stage with Orpheus Underground Combo at a concert in Panzer Gymnasium, Montclair State College, on Sunday, March 9th at 3 p.m. The concert is sponsored by the College Life Union Board. Ticket information may be obtained by calling the Office of Student Activities 746-9500, extension 312. Martin Bate, bass, will be presented in a faculty recital in Recital Hall, Montclair State College, on Sunday, March 9th at 4 p.m.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
This is NBC News, the flight of Apollo 9. This is Dean Mell, NBC News. The astronauts have begun their second picture-taking mission as the capsule Gumdrop sails over Mexico near the end of the 79th revolution. The three flyers are using a unique four-way camera to photograph overlapping views of Mexico from coast to coast, from Cabo Corrientes to Veracruz. Of prime interest is the Valley of Toluca. The first photographic pass, an hour ago, covered the southwestern United States. The astronauts reported the camera was performing well. It is actually four cameras mounted inside a metal ring. Each lens has a different type filter. The pictures may help science inventory the Earth's natural resources and be useful in lessening the effects of drought or crop blight. Eight photographic missions have been assigned to Apollo 9, covering a belt of tropic and semi-tropic zones around the equator. Another secondary mission for the Apollo astronauts is to take landmark sightings. This afternoon, the crew fired the service propulsion engine for the sixth time to reshape the orbit. The first attempt failed because the complex procedures in setting up the firing were configured inaccurately. The second time around, the burn came off perfectly. Two more burns of the SPS are scheduled, another one on Tuesday, and the final burn for reentry when the 10-day Apollo 9 mission comes to an end Thursday morning with splashdown in the Atlantic. Dean Mell at the NBC News Apollo Space Center.
Gene Rayburn back here on Earth, reminding you that we'll check in on the Apollo 9 hourly throughout the weekend. The voice of Vicki Carr now, Can't Take My Eyes Off of You.
You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. Be like heaven to touch. I wanna hold you so much. At long last, love has arrived, and I thank God I'm alive. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. Pardon the way that I stare. There's nothing else to compare. The sight of you leaves me weak. There are no words left to speak. But if you feel like I feel, please let me know that it's real. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you.
let's check the weather map. Shall we do that? Let's see now. We've got heavy snow warnings for parts of Illinois, where the S is silent, Indiana and Ohio. Traveler's warning still in effect for northwest Oklahoma. And listen to this. 8 inches of snow has already piled up in some parts of Missouri. What else we got? We got a coastal storm developing in the Carolinas, expected to head northeast. Uh-oh, we going to get some more of that stuff here. Holy mackerel. And we're going to get some snow in Virginia and northern Maryland, frost likely in parts of Texas, showers reported from Ohio to the Gulf Coast and the southern half of Florida, and all in all, I'm sorry I brought the whole thing up.
When a storm hits, you realize the importance of removing freezing rain, sleet, snow, and slushy, gummy road splash from your windshield in a hurry. But the important thing is to be ready before the next storm. Have your windshield washer filled now with a dependable solution that can really do the job. ANCO Windshield Washer Antifreeze is specially compounded to keep windshields clear even in below-zero weather. You can get ANCO Windshield Washer Antifreeze wherever you see the bright yellow ANCO Windshield Wiper service cabinet. The man at the pump can fill your windshield washer while you have your gas tank filled. Carry an extra can of ANCO Windshield Washer Antifreeze in the trunk of your car. Then you'll always have enough to keep your windshield clear of any freezing or snowing condition with a generous shot of your washer. Be sure to insist on ANCO, A-N-C-O, makers of the finest windshield wipers, refills, arms, and ANCO Windshield Washer Antifreeze.
On deck now, Monitor Sports with Joe Garagiola, who resumes his conversation with an ex-champion in one of the world's most specialized sports, barrel jumping on ice skates. Here's Joe.
This is the day that top ice skaters compete for a world championship. Not by racing, or even by cutting figure eights. They do it by jumping over barrels, and it's going on right now at Grossinger, New York. The man behind this event is former Olympic gold medal winner Irving Jaffe, and I asked him what the record was.
It is held by a boy named Kenny LaBelle, who has an interesting background. He was a former member. He comes from Great Neck, New York. He's a former member of the United States World Amateur Hockey Team, North American Amateur Speed Skating Champion. So he's got quite a credential as far as background as a top athlete. He's not a freak athlete. And then another boy that holds the record, a joint holder of the record, 17 barrels, is a French-Canadian called Jacques Fabreau, a top amateur hockey player. Both of them hold a record of 17 barrels, but Kenny LaBelle holds the distance record as well. See, in addition to the amount of barrels jumped, he also jumped that much further, 28 feet and 8 inches.
The two fellows that Irving Jaffe mentioned are top candidates for the championship today, along with ex-Northwestern University quarterback named Richard Widmark, who isn't Sandy Koufax's father-in-law, by the way. I had one more question for Irving Jaffe about barrel-jumping ice skaters. Do they train?
Yes. They train too hard. Now, this may seem strange, Joe. We have to stop them from breaking their legs before the contest because they want to see if they can jump that 17 barrels. It's like the prize fighter who goes 15 rounds for 2 days before the fight. He's all dried out. They train, and the proper one, the top champions, train by developing their speed primarily. Speed is an important thing, and then, of course, they have to have great agility to get the height and the distance. And then, of course, they jump barrels, of course, from time to time. And that's the basic way they train. Of course, they've also got to train to take their falls. No matter how good a jumper the barrel jumper is, he has to fall because he's jumping in a standard size ice rink, which is 190 feet long. And it's impossible for him to get his takeoff without having a short point to fall or to stop, you see.
Now, you might think that we're going to leave you up in the air, but that's not the way we do things here at Monitor. You leave that dial right where it is, and we'll see to it that you get the results of today's World Barrel Jumping Championships. This is Joe Garagiola for Monitor Sports.
And as Joe said, we'll have those results a bit later on. And I'm very interested because I had an uncle who was a great barrel jumper, in spite of the fact that he emptied the barrels himself.
Now, here's a monitor tip for motorists. If your car has a dent but the paint isn't cracked, it can often be removed by using an ordinary rubber bathroom plunger. Wet the area around the dent, place the plunger against it, and give a sharp pull. The suction should draw the metal out to the original shape. You got to be kidding with it. Now this word from State Farm.
I'm Al Cap, and for years I've been saying that State Farm Mutual has agents almost everywhere in the United States to help you wherever and whenever you need help. Well, I just heard of a town that doesn't have a State Farm agent, so I'd like to offer my condolences to the people of Two Guns, Arizona, both of them. For your car, your home, your life, and your health. State Farm is all you need to know about insurance.
That little gem is called Happy Heart, a new one by Nick DeCaro and the orchestra. Now, a news story that won't cause happy hearts among school teachers. This week, a study to find out how watching television affects the schoolwork of fourth graders had some fascinating results. One kid said, I watch 80 hours a week, including 25 hours on Saturday. Well, sorry, young man, there are only 24 hours in a day. But the way TV is now, it may have seemed like 25. In any case, for what else is going on, stay tuned now for NBC News on the Hour. I'm Gene Rayburn.
This is a rags-to-riches story, and what money power can mean. On a very meager salary, a man managed to save enough to start a small business. This proved to be the money power that changed the dream into reality, resulting ultimately in a huge fortune of millions of dollars. Now look what you can do with just small regular deposits here at the Dime, the big savings bank for all New York. Small weekly deposits of only $10 at the Dime will give you over $6,700 in 10 years. Over $17,800 in 20 years, all before taxes. Money doubles every 14 years at the Dime, based on the Dime's latest dividend of 5% a year, paid from day of deposit, compounded quarterly. For every dollar you save, Dime dividends and another dollar during a period of 14 years. Now, with money power, you have the power to do as you wish. When you bank by mail at the Dime, the postage is paid both ways. For postage-free forms, write Savings WNBC Radio, New York 10020. That's Savings WNBC Radio, New York 10020.
WNBC Radio 660, New York.